Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, yo, it is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life well, Rocket can. We will get back into the Russell Wilson conversation in just a moment. But Hickey, it's a Friday. I'm in a good mood. Broncos, horrible last night. Colts, they win a game. That's kind of good for me because it distanced themselves from a better draft pick, which I'm all game for, that the Colts just continue to get in their own way and ruin the future of their franchise and continue to not have a franchise quarterback. So that's A-okay with me. But I think you could use a little pick-me-up today because you are a Colts fan, but you're down in the dumps. You're miserable. You're in a bad mood today. I know ultimately what will pull you out of this funk is hopefully a big Mets win tonight, and we could rally together. Let's go, Mets. Beat the San Diego Padres. Come on, Mad Max. Let's do it. But I think you do enjoy a good old-fashioned little Twitter brouhaha, a little Twitter kerfuffle, right? You like a good Twitter fight, a little Twitter spat.
I love drama. Oh, yeah.
LeSean McCoy against Robert Griffin III. Did you ever think on a football Friday we'd be talking about LeSean McCoy and Robert Griffin III going at it?
If we're like in 2011, yes. 2022, no, absolutely not.
Now, LeSean McCoy works for Fox. I think he also does some radio for Sirius XM. And he's a podcast, too. And then RG3, who is a friend of the show, big fans of RG3. We're hanging out with him at the Super Bowl, partying with him, all that stuff. Great dude. And he's come on multiple times before. RG3 now works with ESPN. And I will say this. I think RG3 is phenomenal on television. His college football broadcast, broadcasting in the booth, I really think he's a compelling listen. And even with the NFL stuff, I think he's wonderful as well. And we know RG3 was a Heisman Trophy winner at Baylor. And then got to the NFL, and unfortunately, injuries did derail his career. LeSean McCoy had a really good, and some may even say Hall of Fame. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, but he has some really damn good numbers. LeSean McCoy had an exceptional, though, NFL career. Last night, RG3 put out this photo that has gone viral of Melvin Gordon looking at Russell Wilson like Russell Wilson has 9,000 heads and that there's something wrong with him. All RG3 tweeted out was caption this. LeSean McCoy tweeted back, "Damn, bro, take it easy on him, LOL. You experience this moment a lot more than Russ." So that's where it started. Is LeSean McCoy out of bounds for that one? Like, RG3 is just trying to tease now in the media, just trying to take advantage of the moment. You got a picture of Melvin Gordon and Russell Wilson looking at one another, and all RG3 wrote, he didn't say anything malicious. He wasn't like, Russ sucks. Melvin Gordon looks like he wants to kill Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson looks lost. All he said was caption this. A little peculiar for LeSean McCoy to use those Twitter fingers, right? And start going back and forth with Robert Griffin, no?
I don't know why he's so sensitive. Yeah, that's a bad job by Shady McCoy.
So it continues. Now, I'm surprised that RG3 didn't take the high road here. And RG3, if I was in that spot, you may say you would ignore it. But I think it's different when it's inside the NFL fraternity. Like, if that was some eggface 24678921 on Twitter, you ignore it. But when that's a Sean McCoy, and I don't know their history, it is a tough spot for RG3 to ignore it, right? And just not respond.
Yeah, I guess you're right. When it's like kind of coming after you, almost like if you let it sit there, it's almost like you're allowing him to kind of, you know, dominate you.
And not only that, not that we should live in a world of you need validation via likes. The tweet that LeSean McCoy put out got 66,000 plus likes. So you know that the notifications are coming and RG3 is seeing it. This is not just one of the egg face tweets that gets lost in the shuffle, because when you're verified on Twitter, there's a verified tab. So you will then see directly, if you're in the verified portion, the LeSean McCoy post. So RG3 responded back. Dang, you still mad at me for outrushing you in a game? Or was it that I had more rushing touchdowns than you had rushing and receiving yards that year? Or for knocking y'all out of playoff contention in 2014? You had a great career. Without injuries, I would have had a better one. Now, two things. I like the direct shot by RG3 about the stats. The last line I would have left out. Without injuries, I would have had a better one. That's, you could feel that way. I don't know if you, though, tweet that publicly. You want to clown him because I guess there was a game where he had more rushing touchdowns than he had rushing and receiving yards that year. Or no, he had rushing touchdowns. That was the rookie of the year. And he said, okay, I had more rushing touchdowns that year than he had rushing and receiving that year. So you want to go after him for that and the playoff jab. I think that's all good. But once you say, without injuries, I would have had a better one, you didn't, though. And unfortunately for RG3, you did get hurt. I think the first few sentences were fine. That last sentence, without injuries, I would have had a better one. Yeah. Don't like that response from RG3 on the back end.
Yeah, kind of those woulda, coulda, shoulda, you know, almost like not like you're going back to it, because obviously they're very, you know, established pro athletes, but it's almost kind of like, oh, back in my day, I played high school football, if I didn't, you know, blow my knee out, I would have went to college and put in this great starts. Like, you just can't rewrite history and pretend, oh, a big reason for why his career shaped out the way it was, let's just pretend it didn't happen. Can't do it.
So then this continues. LeSean McCoy then sent a tweet back with RG3's career stats. And he goes, but that's the career you did have. And then he made some like joke of I think he wrote let RG3 cook or something like that. So that's a good response by LeSean McCoy. Now, you want to know who put an end to this beef?
Was it someone outside of just these two? Was that a third party coming in?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So the exact tweet, by the way, LeSean McCoy. I lost it for a second. Would have, could have, but these are your numbers. Let RG3 cook is what he wrote to RG3.
You said RG3 opened the door for that one.
Oh. Pretty big name stepped into this conversation to put an end to it on Twitter. Guy has been on this show and loved the way that I introduced him. It's a rejoin in our system. You got nothing.
Deion Sanders?
Yes.
Wait, really?
Mm-hmm.
Deion Sanders is the one who comes in here and is the world peacemaker?
Everyone in the media, Deion Sanders wants them to call him Coach Prime, Coach Sanders, Coach Deion Sanders. I said, Deion Sanders, what's happening? How you been, man? Zach, I love you. You're my guy. Yes. My friend Deion Sanders put an end to this. He quote tweeted one of RG3's tweets and wrote, okay, fellas, that's enough. We love both of y'all, and both of y'all were truly dominant. Let's show love and not display hate. That little sparring match was funny, though, but enough. So RG3 put out a tweet, when Prime steps in, he's a legend, I'll stop. LeSean McCoy, on the other hand, yeah, I'll wave the white flag, but then take another shot at RG3. Wow, Prime dominant with a bunch of eye emojis. OG, you know RG3 was trash. He got like 5,000 yards. If he played in your division, they would have gave you a diamond jacket. So that is what LeSean McCoy responded back with to Coach Prime. friend of the show, our guy, Deion Sanders.
Oof.
Who wins? In the RG3 Shady McCoy debate here.
I don't think it's even close. That's like Shady McCoy round 3 knockout, TKO.
Okay.
For your 12-round fight, that's a 3-round knockout.
I just don't get why it had to get so personal.
Well, I mean, you know, it's Twitter. That's everything. As soon as anyone goes back at anyone,
like, I don't
want to
Adelaide Bird this. So I'll probably say that Shady wins. But like, I don't think Shady looks good here. Like, at the end of the day, you're getting into a fight with RG3 over who had like the better NFL career and why he shouldn't. I don't agree with the principle of basically what LeSean McCoy's saying. And hey, since RG3, you, other than winning a rookie of the year, did nothing in the NFL, that you can't have an opinion or just ask someone to caption a photo where Russell Wilson looks kind of hopeless. I don't agree that what LeSean's basically saying is that RG3 can't have any fun in this moment or just ask to simply caption it. But on the other hand, I do think RG3 looks bad when he says, oh, if I was healthy, yeah, I would have had a better career.
Also, I don't get why Shady McCoy is being so sensitive. Like,
yeah.
I get there's like, you talk about the NFL fraternity. I get there's like a need if you're a running back to defend other running backs if they're getting, let's say, unfairly dragged. RG3, if anything, is dragging Russell Wilson. And Shady McCoy is the same guy who called Kyler Murray trash. Remember, we played that audio last week,
oh,
2 weeks
ago. Great point.
That was him. So you would think he's on a streak where he loves calling quarterbacks trash. But you've seen the way Russell Wilson has played through 5 weeks.
That's the best point you've made today.
How is he not agreeing? Or just not even agreeing. It's not even a question. Like I said, it's just RG3 threw a joke. Hey, caption this. Go drag Russ.
This is what LeSean McCoy would say. Russ is established. Russ is a Super Bowl champion. Russ already got the contract. I know Kyler Murray also got the contract. But clearly, LeSean McCoy doesn't think Kyler Murray is deserving of that deal. He thinks Kyler Murray still needs to prove something. Where Russell Wilson has already proved a lot, but there's still a level to this where Russell Wilson has to prove more. Because Russell Wilson, he wanted to be the guy. He was so caught up in his feelings when we won the Super Bowl. Everyone was praising the LOB. Everyone was praising Marshawn. Everyone was praising Pete Carroll. No one was saying, Russ, you the man. And then Russ got so caught up off the field in being the star and being the legend. Now this is my franchise. Pete Carroll picked me over the LOB, got rid of the LOB, even though I threw a pick at the, you know, in the Super Bowl to Malcolm Butler. Thank you very much. And the last few years, it's become all about Russ. Russ this, Russ that. And Russ felt as if Pete Carroll was holding him back. Now, not for nothing, and I know a season isn't over after 5 weeks, and a trade isn't over after 5 weeks, but 4 weeks in for the Seahawks, they look better, and I never thought I would say this. They look better right now with Geno Smith. And it's not like they are this great team. Let's not get carried away. But Geno Smith leads the league in passing completion and completion percentage. Russell Wilson right now, we thought Geno was going to be the bottom five quarterback. Russell Wilson's looking like the bottom five quarterback. So this is just one of those things where you got to be careful what you wish for. Russ wanted life without Pete. Pete Carroll's the top 10 coach in this league. And I think there was a reason why the guy that always had your back started to push back a little bit and not just give you the full keys to the Ferrari. And I said this in the time, Pete wasn't wrong when he said we can't let Russ cook because, yes, he's throwing all those touchdowns, but there's a lot of interceptions. And Russ needed to find him. We said this right to his personal quarterback coach, Jake Heaps, when he joined us. I said, you guys got to find that middle ground because Russ should want more responsibility. But Pete also shouldn't want to give him all the power because then there's going to be too many interceptions. And they posed and were fake last year. Oh, yeah, everything's great. And no one believed it for a second other than the Seattle media, which I still don't get. Everyone we had on from Seattle, Russ is going no, Russ is going no. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? His agent leaked out multiple teams. The writing is on the wall. But so far, Ryan, the Seahawks are doing better than with life without Russ than Russ is doing life without the Seahawks. And that's wild. Now, I don't know if that's going to last long term, because I think you're going to have to get a better quarterback than Geno Smith. But right now, Pete Carroll, advantage him in this trade so far.
Through the first month, absolutely. He's celebrating. He's going wild. We joked that it was his Super Bowl in week one when they played each other. And through the first month, he's still sipping the bubbly because it's looking good right now. Blake said long term, probably won't work out. But at least right now, you can enjoy the laughs. And each week, it seemingly somehow gets worse and worse.
Well, if you let's just say with the two first-round picks that you have, if you go get a quarterback this year and you find your next guy, it could work out better. I don't know if Russell Wilson can be an elite quarterback again. I don't. I'm not saying he can't. I just don't know if it could happen. Because so far, what we're seeing right now, and I was pessimistic about this Broncos team, but I didn't think it could be this bad. Down deep, if Russ is sitting next to us, and it's just me, you, Russ, we're going out tonight, and before we go, we're like, Russ, we got to shoot you up with some truth serum. We need you to be honest with us and not be this poser, not be this phony, not be this fraud, not try to be someone else. We want the true Russell Wilson. And let's say we shoot him up with a little truth serum, and I ask him this simple question. Hey, Russ, do you regret leaving the Seahawks? Do you regret how this went down? How do you think Russell Wilson answers that?
I think right now his answer is still no.
Oof, that's a bad answer. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But was the situation in Seattle really that bad? Pete Carroll's top 10 coach. You got DK Metcalf. You have Tyler Lockett. Yes, offensive line, questionable, but a lot of people thought you were holding on to the ball too long. Defense was getting younger. Starting to establish themselves again. Still got some work to do. Was that a situation in where you were the face of the franchise now? You were the guy that you had to run away from? I don't think so. But ego played a huge role in that. And he thought he was going to somewhere that was better. And so far, it ain't better. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll update you on the biggest stories in the world of sports next. If you want to jump on in, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Do you think Russell Wilson is regretting his decision to force his way out of Seattle and now be a part of the Denver Broncos? Hey, and let's be clear. He's not exonerated of blame here. Last night, that game's on him. I know Hackett's a joke. I know that line is banged up. Javonte Williams out for the year. He doesn't trust the receivers. Receivers don't trust him. That's on Russell Wilson last night. At the end of regulation, he should have ran the football. Could have had maybe a touchdown. Definitely would have had a first down. Game's over. No timeouts. And then in overtime, he missed the wide open KJ Hamler. Didn't even see him. News brief next. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Yep, yep. You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's hear from Russell Wilson. He says he needs to play better. No crap.
I got to be better. I got to play better. This team, this defense played their butts off tonight. We had some key good drives. We moved the ball, you know, in the red zone. We just didn't get to capitalize on some of them, you know, and there's some plays there here and there that we can capitalize on.
Russell Wilson on what he was seeing on the final play of the game where KJ Hamler is wide open and didn't even look at him.
We had a good play call on. He went to Cortland there. Made a good play. I was ready to move around if I needed to. We came up with a big fourth and two earlier in the two drives before. So we went for it. We didn't want to end in a tie. You know, we wanted to try to win the game. You know, and that was our mentality. I don't think it was. I think coach made a good call. I think we got to find. You know, I got to find a way to make a play.
Now I know that's in the moment, but there is a buffer from when the game ends to when he walks to the podium. I know he did not look at KJ Hamler, did not look at the right side of the field. So maybe since you're not looking, you didn't know he was that open, but he has to know before he gets to the podium, right? That KJ Hamler was wide open, especially when KJ Hamler was so visibly upset once that pass did fall incomplete.
I guess my only question is, who would let him know?
A PR person?
Hey.
That's your job.
Russ, you...
What? Let me ask you this.
Heads up. You missed a wide open play. You screwed up.
That's the job of a PR person. You got to prepare him for those
questions. I'm asking. I don't know.
And not only that, I'm just thinking naturally. If I'm the leader of this team, and I am a competitor like Russell Wilson is, how many times do you see a quarterback right after a play doesn't go their way, they go right back to the sideline, they look at it on the tablet? You don't look at that. You don't look at the tablet before he goes to the podium there? You don't review that play?
It's the last play of the game. I have no idea. Maybe you just run off the field. You're embarrassed. You're getting booed. You want to just go hide your face because you didn't score a touchdown on national TV.
That's your leader, dude. He sounds lost. He didn't even look at KJ Hamler. He's wide open. That's horrible. One thing that's worse is this let's ride thing at the end.
I'm grateful for them battling for every moment, every play, and they kept believing until the last play. That belief is a powerful thing, and that's what I'm going to keep believing in. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country. Let's ride.
I know he's walking off, and that's why he goes, Broncos country, let's ride. Can you play the beginning of that again one more time?
I'm grateful for them battling for every moment, every play, and they kept believing until the last play. That belief is a powerful thing, and that's what I'm going to keep believing in. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Broncos country, let's ride.
Hey, Russ, real quickly, Zach Gelb from the Mile High Observer. Should be the name of the newspaper. I don't know if it is or it isn't out there. Who actually is believing in you right now? Does that sound or look like a football team that's believing in Russell Wilson, Hickey? I don't see it. I don't hear it.
Not at all.
Man, it's kind of crazy how Russell Wilson's got a punchline to every joke right now.
That line he had was the highlight of my night last night. I'm not kidding.
Broncos country.
That's right. Bill Belichick here. I've taken over the soul of Russell Wilson. And, you know, he's going to sound like me when he talks to reporters. Broncos country. Let's ride.
It's right into the ground? Like, where are you riding to?
Why would you even say it if you're not even, like, meaning it?
It would actually be worse if last night, if he's walking off, Broncos country, let's ride!
True. Maybe just leave that all
just
together.
Just shut up!
On the cutting room floor.
Just shut up, Russ! All right? You lost. Stop with the shtick. Stop with the gimmick. There's no reason to say Broncos country, let's ride. And no reason last night. He got embarrassed. And he's not even cognizant of the fact that he looks like a buffoon. And he sounds like a moron last night. Holy smokes. And this used to be a guy that a lot of people used to like. He's been so unlikable recently. Trying to say, oh, I don't have a problem with Pete. I love Pete Carroll. And you get to Denver. Oh, yeah, it doesn't bother me if the Seattle fans boo me. And he's turned into, like, a totally different person. He's trying to be this god. But here's the thing. In the career that you picked, if you don't play like a god, you don't get treated like a god. no matter what you think of yourself, he's become unlikable. Which is, I would have never thought I would have said this 3 years ago, but Russell Wilson is now unlikable. Do you disagree with that?
As someone who has defended Russ, no, I cannot. And he has no self-awareness.
He's like creeping me out now.
And it makes him saying Broncos country lets right after a debilitating loss now makes sense. If you remember, go back to week one, after the loss to the Seahawks, when he wore that, he still wore the mint suit and the bow tie. He looked like a clown answering questions about that loss and that offense in week one, and now kind of.
But he thinks he looks cool.
Yeah.
He thinks he's the man.
Makes head sense. Honcho. You wear that suit, you say Broncos country, let's ride. It's brutal.
Sort of wore a clown suit to the press conference last night. Nathaniel Hackett says the offense isn't making plays.
Well, I think we had a lot of opportunities. Again, those things continually show up, and we're not capitalizing on them, whether it's a drop, a missed throw, just too many things that, you know, aren't coming together. And I think that, you know, for us, the offense is going through some adversity, and I believe that they're going to get through this, and they're going to learn from it, and we're going to grow from it, that we have to.
Ask a simple question again. Why? I know, what else are you going to say? But why should I believe that this offense is going to look better? Like, even if Russ starts to play better, your best offensive lineman out, Garrett Bowles, out. Done. Javonte Williams, done. Melvin Gordon, fumbling problem. KJ Hamler hates the quarterback now. Even if Russ plays better, this team's not going to get drastically better. And that's a problem with Denver right now. Nathaniel Hackett, this is what Marco was talking about earlier. And this is not what you want to hear from a head coach. Nathaniel Hackett and why he chose to pass on 3rd and 4 just before the 2-minute warning in the fourth quarter.
In that situation, obviously we don't want a turnover. We want to come away with the points. That would have helped us. And we were really working Jerry across the middle. And I don't think he was open. And then, you know, we just slowly progressed. And, you know, Russell thought he had a chance at it and ended up being a pick.
And then let's hear Nathaniel Hackett and why he went for it on 4th and 1 in overtime.
We wanted to win the game. We hadn't moved the ball very well the whole night, and I thought we had a spectacular drive to get all the way down there. It ended up being 4th and 1 and got the go to go for it, and thought that was a good decision. Wanted to put the ball in Russell's hands and called a play that we know that he really likes, and it didn't work out. It was one of those things. The timeout before it was to kind of get a feel for what they were doing, and so the run didn't look as good as we had hoped it would have, and gave us a chance with Russell, and that's all you can ask for in that situation to win the game.
He got the go to go for it. Hickey, can you correct me if I'm wrong here? It was my I know they hired this guy to help them out with decisions. But this guy's still calling the plays, Nathaniel Hackett. He's been adamant about not giving up the play calls and the play calling duties. So now, no wonder why there's all these clock management errors still, and it's still sloppy. You have someone telling you if you should go for it or not. Like, I get it. Hey, there's analytical guys. It's a whole different world now. But you get the okay to go. Like, what? If you have 10, like, cooks in the kitchen, you don't know who's actually in control of that kitchen, and that's what it was, the Broncos. Marco, that's laughable. Laughable.
I'm telling you, we got the go to go for it. From who? That's your job.
Yeah.
From who? You get paid to do this job. That's your job.
The guy they brought
Not
in,
even
yeah.
to call the plays or whatever. No. To decide the things that will decide the football game is on you. For 60 minutes, you're in charge. I got the go from who the hell told you? Honestly, is the GM on the phone?
Maybe.
Is the owner on the phone? No one else is above you.
It's crazy. And I know Denver, the fans in Denver are killing him today, I would imagine. And Russ probably is still getting most of the blame today. But both those guys, man, that's brutal.
Again, this is a mess in epic proportions.
It's I don't even think it's fair to call it a mess. It's worse than a mess.
It is.
It's embarrassment to other messes to call this a mess.
But again, it's still the Russell Wilson part of it is possibly salvageable because he's been around so long, and if he eventually gets back to his roots,
at least he has some credit.
It's possible. Mm-hmm. I hate to tell you, and I don't think I'm an overreaction type of guy.
No, you know.
You're 5 weeks in. Nathaniel Hackett has proven to you over and over and over and over again. He is in over his head. He has no idea what he wants to do. If you need someone else to give you the okay to go for it on fourth down in overtime, quit now. It's done. You are not the head coach. You are not the leader. You are not in charge. You're just a guy on the sideline. Step aside, because someone needs to take charge of that job.
Would Sean Payton even take this job now? I threw out that name after week one. He wants a quarterback. Can he trust Russ enough?
Yeah. That's not even a, yeah. I mean, with Russell Wilson, with Sean Payton, yeah. And the Broncos are still a good destination. And it's still,
wealthy owners now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the ownership, you know, the old Roger Goodell and all that. He would have total control, I'm sure, if he wanted that job. It's just a question of, is there stability? Yeah. So it's does he want it? Sean Payton basically is going to get to choose where he goes next.
Yeah.
And I know everybody wants to point to Dallas, which I still think that that's not exactly the perfect situation for him. Denver would be a decent spot. Now, Russell was a little old, but it's a decent spot.
Now, if the Chargers go south this year, I'd rather the Chargers
sign
the
Broncos me up.
In a second.
I'd find it hard to believe with all that talent. Now, the only thing that's dangerous is that you're
injuries in right now.
Yeah, but I think if you're Sean Payton, you look at it, it's just the instability. That entire organization has just been very unstable. The moves and everything else, there's no real fan base. So you're walking into dangerous waters in that regard. But you know what? Give me Justin Herbert. They could pull a Dick Vermeil and they could win like the greatest show on turf. Who cares? Yeah. Once you leave after 5 years and everything crumbles, what do you care?
Let's hear from Richard Sherman. This is great. I was watching this live last night on Amazon Prime. He freaks out on the Broncos' final play call.
You need 1 yard. Run the ball. What? Run the ball. Hey, CT.
He's triggered.
All he has to do is run the football. Like, necessary criticism. I'm not, you know, I've said enough criticism for him, but God dang, run the dang ball. Like, learn from your mistakes.
I don't, can somebody film me?
That was awesome. It was almost as if while he was saying run the damn ball, it was just a flashback to Super Bowl 49 with the whole situation, not giving the ball to Marshawn and Russ on the pick.
That's great. The only thing I will say is they did run it on 3rd and 1 and didn't get it. So it wasn't run the ball on 4th and 1. This is not Marshawn Lynch. This should have been Russell Wilson to move around and maybe run for that first down. But I get it. It's a really cool story.
Well, not only that, why I also love it too. Sherman's not wrong.
No, no.
But he does come off as a little fraudulent when before the game, you're basically French kissing Russell Wilson on the field. You've been killing the guy all offseason long. You were actively rooting against him and dancing on his grave when he lost to the Seahawks. And he even caught him. He goes, I've criticized him enough.
No,
a little fraudulent before the game.
Again, there's no love lost there. It would be nice to see a little bit more of that when you're face-to-face, but unfortunately, it's the world we live in.
All right, I just want to hear two more. KJ Hamler says, everyone is frustrated with how the season has started. Remember, KJ Hamler's the wide receiver that was wide open, and Russell Wilson just didn't get him the ball.
I'm frustrated. You know, I think everybody's frustrated. You know, we just got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. You know, self-inflicted wounds, and you know, you see what we can do. You know, we drove down there fast. You know, we can do that every time. We got to finish. We got to execute. And we got to finish.
So last one here. We've been clowning Russell Wilson. We've been talking about the incompetence of Nathaniel Hackett. This one's pretty bad too, Marco. Here is Frank Reich saying he really loves how Matt Ryan plays in the fourth quarter.
I wish you guys could have seen him up close. I love this guy in the fourth quarter. The look in his eyes, the short conversations that we have, the determination. I just feel like we're going to go down the field and score. I mean, I really do. He's going to make it work. So a credit to Matt. I mean, you see all these things that have been said about him. What he does in the fourth quarter is impressive.
Matt Ryan's a big story. Man, what was I not able to see on Amazon last night that Frank Reich got to see standing on the sideline looking into his eyes with Matt Ryan from that game?
Yeah, the ghost of Matt Ryan. That's what it feels like we're watching. And unfortunately, we're watching him slowly deteriorate simply because
that,
the Colts.
He was annoyed last night.
Yeah. Wow, I mean,
furious. I've never seen him look that dejected. And that was a guy that I've seen blow a 28-3 lead in a Super Bowl.
Again, he's getting killed back there. And I think he's feeling it. So I think he's annoyed with everything else that's going on around him. Everything else is starting to collapse. He also knows, you know, Father Time is ticking on him. And every one of these hits is taken away. It feels like another year off Matt Ryan's career. This is hard to watch.
I tweeted in a joking tone to Hickey last night when I saw Hickey was tweeting about this. I thought there was a chance during that game last night he was going to pull Avante Davis and just walk off at the field and retire. That's one of the great—we were talking about LeSean McCoy earlier, Hickey. Hearing LeSean McCoy, I forget who he was looking back over it with.
Tre'Davious White.
Tre'Davious White. And they just start imitating Avante Davis. He's like, I'm done. I'm out. I'm gone. Man, this is a grown man's game. And I just don't have it anymore. When they imitate him in that high-pitched voice, it's great. Anyway, that's the news brief.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
This season, for the first time, you can hear every Westwood One NFL broadcast stream live for free Mondays, Thursdays, Sunday nights, the International Series, holiday triple headers, and every postseason game. Catch all the action on the Odyssey app, on westwoodonesports.com, via Westwood One Station Streams, or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports, all sponsored by AutoZone. It's time to say goodnight to that check engine light with the free AutoZone Fix Finder service. It will help troubleshoot the likely cause of your light for free. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. Bum, bum, bada, bum, bum. Bada, 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 bum. Coming up Sunday night, Bengals, Ravens. That's got to be a classic. After the just terrible game that we saw last night between the incompetent Indianapolis Colts and the even more incompetent Denver Broncos, we are due, Hot Take Hickey, for a big-time, primetime game where it's not only close, because last night's game was clearly close, but actually entertaining, actually good. A reason where you want to watch the game, not basically stab your eyes out while watching the game like last night was.
I'm just trying to think. I don't think we've had a really good Sunday night game, right? Yeah, the Buccaneers-Cowboys, which was just an offensive it was a defensive slugfest, where Tom Brady, what, 19-3, right?
Mm-hmm.
You had Bears-Packers. Yuck.
Horrible.
Week 3 in blank, and last week you had the Chiefs blow out the Bucks for the most part. The score was, you know, they won by 10, but the score is not indicative of how actually,
that game was a blowout.
And I'm forgetting what game week 3 was.
Look it up real quickly. I can't remember it either, what week 3.
Oh, should have known. 49ers Broncos.
Oh, yeah.
So.
You're right. That was the most I thought that was the most forgettable game until I saw last night.
Broncos said, hold my beer. But
we have not had a good Sunday night game.
No, we have not.
Which is a rough start for the best part was the sliding coming back last week by Collinsworth so far. That was it.
When we're talking about a pregame moment, that's when you know that it's been a forgettable slate.
Yeah, you're right. The Sunday night games this year have been horrendous. Been brutal. That's a rough slate now. You knew what you were getting with Tirico and Collinsworth. So, yeah, I don't feel bad for those guys. But, geez, those games have been brutal. But this game, Lamar Jackson against Joe Burrow. The two biggest questions in this game that I have, will the Bengals' offensive line actually start to play the way that we thought they were going to play when they made all their moves this offseason, getting Collins, Kappa, Karras, to revamp from that center to the right tackle spot? And then for the Ravens, what's going on with their defense? In week 2, they blew that lead 35-14 to the Dolphins. And then last week, they blew a 20-3 lead up against the Buffalo Bills where they allowed 20 unanswered points. That defense, I don't know what to expect from them. And you have, it's not as if you have a team in the Bengals where their offense stinks. Now, Joe Burrow's a stud. Ja'Marr Chase is a stud. Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, assuming everyone plays, very damn good wide receivers. You know Joe Mixon is a heck of a running back, but you have to get after the quarterback. And then if you do play from in front, Lamar continues to play like Superman, you have a lead in the fourth quarter, can you close it out? This is a game where both these teams are 2-2. And for the Bengals, it doesn't feel like they should be 2-2. It feels like they've been worse than 2-2, but they've salvaged it the last 2 weeks. And then for the Ravens, they're 2-2, but they feel like bare minimum they should be 3-1. You can make the case they should be 4-0. But the fact that they blew both those games and at home, that was mystifying. It still is. Who do you trust more in this game, Hickey, Bengals or Ravens?
I will go with the Bengals.
Wow. Why? Explain why. Because my answer, who do I trust more, would be the Ravens. Because their only problem is finishing games. And we'll see if they could end up finishing games, which is a concern. But they've been the better team through the first 4 weeks of the season. Doesn't mean they're going to win the game. But I would just have more trust that they figure out these defensive issues in the fourth quarter.
Well, that's it. I mean, I'm not trusting them right now. That defense has been a sieve. And the second half, they've not been very good. That's an offense in Cincinnati that got off to a slow start for sure, but now it's starting to come back alive. The offensive line is starting to play better. As we know, the connection between Joe Burrow's receivers is there.
Oh, hold on. Two things. Can you say the offensive line is playing better? And can you even, I know you need to get the win, but can you even feel really good about getting that win up against the Dolphins? Tua got knocked out of the game.
We only allowed one sack, so that's an improvement.
Yeah, but Burrow's still running for his life. You're telling me that after that Dolphins game, you're just ready to say, okay, I'm all back in on the Bengals?
Not all back in, but I think they're playing back. I see a path where they're starting to improve. Like, it was a little Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to call it, to start the year when you start 0-2. But now, you know, they beat the Jets. Okay, congratulations to the Jets.
And then you beat the Dolphins without Tua. That's what, like, they have. This is their first big test, where we're going to see how close they are to getting back to form from last year. Because I can't put too much stock in that game up against the Jets. You want to win the game, but I can't put much stock up against the Dolphins. And I know the Dolphins have a good defense. But this is the game. You know Lamar is going to score points. You know Lamar Jackson is going to put a decent amount of points up on the scoreboard. We're going to find out a lot about how much better that offensive line got and just how much and what direction this team is going. I think this would be a one-score game. I think this would be a close game heading into the fourth quarter. I really do. I just put more trust into Lamar Jackson because right now between both teams, Lamar Jackson is the best player on both teams. So I'm going to side with the best player when I think this is going to be an extremely close game. That's why I'm going with the Ravens over the Bengals this week. That's a game that has palpable buzz. That's a game that I'm really looking forward to. And please, can we get a good Sunday night game? It's a great point by you, Hickey. The Sunday night games, woof, they've been dreadful. Hickey just did two thumbs down. And when Hickey gives two thumbs down, that's like me giving two middle fingers to someone. Five questions, five answers next. Onside's offside when we return on the Zach Gelb Show and CBS Sports Radio in 5 minutes.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.